who is always bragging about what they do or what they've done. You share a story and they always one up. You know, well, you know, I got 200-300 games in bowling. Well, I got 5. You know, whatever. I mean, that's a dumb example, but you get the point, you know, of nobody likes to be around. I mean, I think back to elementary school, there was one of the kids, and hopefully he's not listening, but I'm sure he's not. His name was Keith, and no matter what it was, he always one-upped. He was always better. And who wants to be around a bragger, a person who is always boasting? While no one likes to be around a person like that, God encourages us to boast. He encourages. And this passage is one of those. And actually, as we finish Galatians, you know, so the issue isn't should I boast or not? The issue is who and what am I boasting in? And so Jeremiah tells us that here as he talks about boasting. Look what he says. Let me read these two verses. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might, and let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And so he begins here by saying, hey, the things that we typically boast in, and that is our wisdom, our might, our riches, the things that we have. We think of greater, more of ourselves than what we ought to think. And what he was saying, and you know, the typical pattern is that's what we boast in. He's saying, that's not what you're to boast in, because you know what? There's going to be a time when you're going to lose all of those things. Your riches aren't going to be your riches anymore because they're not yours. They've been entrusted to you. Your wisdom is not going to be yours anymore. And so he's making that comparison. And what he's saying is what we need to boast in, we need to boast in our relationship with God. We need to boast in him, who he is, what he has done in our relationship to him. And so what that sounds like is that we're always talking about God in a very humble way, but also in a very personal way. What God is doing for us, how he's leading us, what he's asking us to do. And that's exactly what Jeremiah lays out here for us, that we should be boasting about the Lord. Our boasting should be in him, in relationship to him, who he is and what he's done. And he shares that even in here. He you know, it's funny, as another one of the songs, and I can't remember which one, had some of these lines, and I'm like, man, there's another one, you know, where he says here, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. What is steadfast love? Steadfast love is a love that finishes, a love that is committed, a love that does not give up, a love that goes through the ups, but it also goes through the downs. When we're wandering, God's steadfast love pursues us. He won't let us go. And so what he's saying is, that's what we need to boast in. And it's not a well, God's going to go find me so I can go do what I want. No, that is the opposite of the case. His pursuing of us is what makes us want to follow and walk with him. It's the safest place on earth to be, listening and obeying the Lord. And so what he's saying is that's what we need to boast in. That needs to be what's on our lips. Our workplaces, do they hear that from us? Not just going to church, but do they hear the words of Christ? Do they hear what God has done for you, his infinite mercy and his grace, and how you came to understand that? And so as going over, you know, and let's flip over to the book of Galatians. That's how Paul ends this letter from the book of Galatians. And he's going to talk about this theme of boasting as well. that we're to boast in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're to boast in the cross. It's only because of the cross that we can be in God's presence. That's it. It's the only reason. So let me read these couple verses here at the end. And you know, you might, as we're going through, you might be thinking, man, is he just repeating himself over? Yes, he is. He's repeating himself over and over and over again. Why? Because we're pretty dense. We kind of miss it. We need to hear it again. And again, Scripture talks about we're sheep. We're not too smart. And so repetition is very important. And he knows that we have a tendency to try to be like God and to be about my work, what I'm doing. And that is the opposite of the gospel. The gospel is we have received a gift that is more valuable than anything in this world. Anything. More valuable than anything because it's eternal. It's forever. And so let me read these couple verses here. Starting in verse 11, he says this, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon you and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." And so what is he saying here? He's saying that we need to boast in Christ alone. And he's adding, he's giving more definition to what Jeremiah said back in Jeremiah chapter 9. He's giving more specific. We boast in the Lord. We boast in the sacrifice of Christ. We boast in the cross. The cross is the finished work of God. We can't add anything to it. It's finished. It's sufficient. When Jesus died, he satisfied. That's what he said on the cross. What were his words? It is finished. The Father was completely satisfied. The punishment was paid. The debt was paid in Christ. And that's why he comes back to say, our whole thing of boasting is in the cross of Christ. Our whole thing is faith in Christ. And that relationship with Christ impacts everything that we do, everything that we think about. And so it's not this disconnect. Wow, I trusted Christ and now I have my life. No, when you trust Christ, now he gives you your life. He shows you what he wants you to do. We walk in relationship to him. That's what he says here. We boast in the work of Christ, what he has done, his work. And his work gives us our marching orders of what we're to be doing. And so he compares in here, remember the false teachers that he's talking about? He's talking about the false teachers. Look what he says in verse 3. What is their approach? But they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. In other words, the false teachers were boasting in something other than Christ. And that's why they were so wrong. They were focused on themselves. They were focused on their glory. They were focused on just, you got to do good things. And what Paul is coming to say, you know, it's about the cross. It's about the cross. We live out our faith in the cross. We boast in the cross. And so what does that mean for us? You know, real practically, it means that that's what we, when people ask us, you know, why do you do what you do? We don't keep the focus on, well, I'm just a good person, and these are the things that I do. No, the reason why we do what we do is because Jesus Christ. We talk about him. And even he says it in here. When you bring Christ up, what's going to happen? You're going to be persecuted. The reason why these false teachers didn't want to talk about Christ is they didn't want to endure the persecution that would go along with walking with Christ. Because this world is against someone else paying for your sin. This world is against, like, you know what? No, I want to do it on my own. I want to be the one to get, I don't like getting a gift. I want to work for it. And salvation is totally the opposite. And that's what he's saying here. We need to boast in the cross, because the cross is about Jesus. Only Jesus Christ could be the one there. He was the only perfect human being, perfect God of the universe that could satisfy. And so that's what we do. We boast in the cross. Christ is the one that we talk about. That's what he started in the beginning of the book talking about. They drifted from Christ. They got onto religion. They got onto their works. They were disconnected. And Paul's writing to correct them. And so I think that's even for us this morning, especially in the season that we're in right now. Do we look and sound any different than the world as it relates to the Christmas season? I'm asking yourself a question, a heart question there. Are you any different? Or on the outside, do you, I might sing a song or two, but and the difference need to be, do we talk about Christ? Do we boast in him, who he is, and what he has done for us? Well, Steve, some people don't want to hear that. I know. I know. He knows. And we don't need to be obnoxious, but we need to sow those seeds to come back to who he is and what he's done. So he says here we need to boast in the cross of Christ, but he also gives us another insight here. Verse 15, he says it another way. Verse 15, he says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." And so the reason why we can boast is because as believers in Jesus Christ, the moment you trust Christ as Savior, you become a new person, a new creation in Jesus Christ. You're changed. Your thoughts, your desires, your pursuits, what you want to spend your time on is different. And so that's part of what he's saying here. We boast in the cross, but the cross has given way for us to be born again, for us to be regenerated. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit now indwells you. And so he changes you. You can't keep doing the things that you used to do and have a hard conscience about it. He's going to affect you. He's going to say, what you're doing, it's not just morally wrong. It's, I want you to be like me. And so we need to boast that we've been born again. God has done this work. He has changed. That's where the change comes from. It comes from him. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability to walk with him, our relationship with him. That's what he wants us to do in the process. And so, and again, that comes back to we use our mouths to boast about Christ. We give the reason why we do what we do, not in a smug way, but in a way that, the reason why I'm doing it is because Christ has changed and transformed my life. It's all about him. We boast in Christ. And so as we think about that, that's for all of us as believers. Well, Scripture gives us another. I want to turn over to 2 Corinthians. And just in thinking, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as we think about boasting, here's a real practical, and even this morning here as we it's the area of leadership and eldership. And so, again, Scripture is for all believers, but as leaders, we have a higher calling at times. We're examples. People are looking to us to say, and again, that's within the church. Hey, it's elders and leaders. Within a home, it's mom and dad. Within a workplace, wherever you're at, there's leadership, there's a higher call. And so he gives an example here, another example of what leaders are to be boasting of. And look what he says in chapter 12, verse 9. Paul is talking about one of his weaknesses. He asked God to take it away, and God said, no. No. I'm not going to take it away. He doesn't tell us why, but here's what he does tell. Paul hears how we're to respond to that. Verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made, what does your version say? Perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so another thing, as leaders, we're to boast in our weaknesses, because our weaknesses are the doorway by which we see the power of God lived through us. It's our weaknesses that cause us to say, God, I need you to do this. I can't do it. Our weaknesses make us much more dependent upon the Lord. Not our strengths. Our strengths, we tend, well, hey, I can do that. I know how to put a lesson together. Here's how I do it. I'm a teacher. I know how to do that. But our weaknesses make us say, God, you know what? Unless you do something here, I don't have the power in me to do this. I need you to help me. And I think even in the process, you heard from both Dave and Matt, I don't really want to be an elder. There's nothing in, because they know what the calling is there. And I've said the same thing. I didn't walk out one day and say, I want to be a pastor. God wooed me into that. God wooed, and it's in those weaknesses. And so we all have weaknesses. And how do we respond to weaknesses? What he says here, this is another. We need to boast in the cross. We need to boast in being born again. And we need to boast in our weaknesses, for the reason of our weaknesses are the doorway by which God's power can be seen. God's power. And I feel that, at times, sometimes I come in, I'm like, man, I got a great message. God's been working and teaching me. And I share it, and I don't know if God worked or not. And there's other times where it's like, God, I feel like I have nothing to give. But obediently, I got to get up and share that. And sometimes that's when God uses you the most. When the notes aren't looking good, when it feels like, God, I don't have it in me, but I'm seeking you that you would do something through this. And I think that's even the case when we're in relation, you're in your workplace, you're in your school, you miss an opportunity, God opens a door and you miss it. How many of you miss opportunities to talk about Christ? I do all the time. And so what's the best thing we do with a missed opportunity? We come back the next time and say, you know what, you asked this question and I missed it. And I'm sorry. Because, hey, let's talk about that. And so we acknowledge our weakness. We talk about our weakness. Paul says here, he gloried in his weakness. I will boast in my weakness. Not because it's a weakness, but because that is the way that Christ can be glorified and honored. If we're willing to get out of the way, if we're willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to say, you know what, God, you can do this. You are more powerful than my gifts, abilities, strengths, weakness, all those things. You're greater. And that's exactly what he is saying to us. And so, Zion, will we boast in Christ this week? Will we talk about him? Will we get outside of ourselves? Your weakness, whatever it is, we all have them. Let's just be honest. We all have weaknesses. Will we surrender that to Christ and say, God, will you take my weaknesses and do something with it? Help me to be willing. I'm not good at talking, but God, help me to be willing to fumble the words together, and that, God, you might use it to channel your grace through my fumbling words, and somehow you can make sense of it and you can channel your grace through me. I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord, to sound ridiculous if it's for your glory. And that's what he's saying here. Because it really all comes back to the glory of Christ. It all comes back to the cross. It all comes back to what Christ has done. And we walk with him day in and day out. It's the great thing about the regularity of Sunday. We are reminded every Sunday. Yep, didn't achieve it this week. But guess what? We got this week coming. We're going to walk with you. And so we're going to end with a very, I'll invite the worship team to come up. Just together as a church to declare a very familiar, a very old hymn. It's very Christmassy, but we don't usually put it in the Christmas season. But it's the whole message of what he's saying here, that we boast about the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, church, let's declare this together as we praise the Lord for the old rugged cross.